For centuries, one tool of law enforcement has been man's best friend, the dog. Still, as with other weapons, the canine's special abilities are sometimes abused by those into which hands this power has been placed, and the reputation of dogs in police work has suffered. Today in Nebraska, dozens of dogs are routinely used by law enforcement agencies to track lost children and Alzheimer's patients, apprehend criminals, clear vehicles in high-risk felony stops, sniff out illegal drugs, search buildings, and protect their handlers. Nina Galen reports.
Where's that girl? Come on, girl, get down there. Get down there.
It's a cold, windy day at Air Park outside Lincoln. Sergeant Mike Kirby, director of training for the State Patrol's 17-dog K-9 unit, watches while a trooper and his dog search a car in which minute quantities of drugs have been hidden.
When the dog gets to the hubcap over here, you'll probably see her alert. And then also indicate. Indicate means the dog has identified the strongest source of the odor of drugs and is trying to tell you where they're at by scratching, biting, barking, carrying on.
The dog isn't seeking drugs per se. She's looking for a toy containing the scent of drugs. Now, alert to that scent coming from the hubcap, she's stimulated by her handler to scratch at the metal.
Good job, Bob.
With a sleight of hand movement, her handler drops a toy by the hubcap. Pasha grabs it playfully.
Come here, girl. What he's doing right now is just playing with her. That's the paycheck, which is the toy that has the odor of drugs on it.
This man dog bonding is a necessary part of the training. Soon Pasha will be going home to live with her handler and his family.
The philosophy of the training we use is German in nature. They've been at it longer than anybody else that we're able to track, and they've got most of the bugs worked out of their training system.
The cost of the dogs is underwritten by local businesses and private individuals. Sergeant Kirby's dog of choice is the Belgian Malinois, about a year old when they arrived from Germany.
They're one of the oldest breeds used in law enforcement, military. Come predominantly from France, Belgium, and Holland. They're real high-drive dogs. And they'll make a mediocre handler look pretty darn good.
The next exercise, stopping the bad guy. Ron, the trooper who will play bad guy, or agitator, will wear a 50-pound French designer bodysuit. Despite this protection, it's a dangerous role. Even if the dog's teeth can't penetrate the thick, specially woven material, compression wounds from its powerful jaws may require medical attention. While several troopers help their comrade into the monster garment, they laugh and joke with a sort of gallows humor.
We teach and encourage our dogs to bite any part of the body. We're not specifically targeting an arm or leg because that's not real life. So we use a bodysuit probably about 10% of our training time, and that's to create actual scenarios or to do bite buildup exercises. It enhances fight drive, which is a combat drive that you want a dog to have towards a human being. We don't want the dog to consider the human being to be a large rabbit. We want the dog to consider the human being as being a rival. And by enhancing fight drive, the dog goes into rather than pulls away from the human counterpart. This is a team effort. They'll talk Ron into the exercise. They'll talk him through the safety precautions if he happens to get knocked down. Okay, John, do the safety precautions if you would.
As long as your arm's moving, he's not going to let go of that and go to any other place in your body, like your head or something. Okay? Just keep it moving. Someone will run and help you up. If you do go to fall, don't try to catch yourself. Just keep your arms tucked in tight and just hit the ground and roll.
Any questions?
Not until it happens.
Is there any medical reason why you shouldn't participate in this exercise? No, because I'm nuts.
And here comes the guest of honor. Yep, and all we're going to do is we're going to have you shake
straight
your back.
Yep. Short target. Runaway, long runaway.
Okay.
Straining at his lead, the dog is brought over.
Good to go, guys.
Okay, start shaking your butt, start walking into it.
The handler targets the dog on the bad guy's retreating back, then gives the command to attack.
Rudy knows what to do. Okay, there you go. Now, lean forward a little bit. There you go. Forward, look towards me. Just start walking slowly this way. Don't run, just slow.
The agitator and his coach, the handler and his dog, move slowly forward, locked together in terrible synergy.
teaches the dog targeting as well as the downward backward pressure as the agitator is moving forward. If the dog lets go, he loses the bite. So by doing that backward, it encourages the dog to stay on the bite. The way we train, the dog bites one time. He bites, usually we end up with four holes.
In part two of the exercise, the unhappy target does a runaway up the field and through a group of officers. A dog is unleashed.
Send him!
Here he comes.
Little ankle biter.
Nice calf bite.
Good boy.
Okay, let's do a standstill, hands up, plops.
Stand still, hands up, plops. Plops. Plops.
Good.
One important part of a dog's training are detention exercises. Unlike the TV series Cops, where viewers routinely see blood flow when LAPD officers unleash their dogs, Nebraska law enforcement agencies teach their dogs it's totally unacceptable to bite a still-standing or unthreatening person. Sergeant Dave Halverstadt of the Sheriff's Office in Lincoln directs the training of two recently acquired German Shepherds and a Rottweiler.
I've seen some dog handlers on Cops do some things that just make the hair on my neck stand up. You know, if I thought for a minute that either one of my dog handlers would do that type of thing, you know, where they would use the dog when other means could have been used. It's not something that you want to abuse. It's just not a good idea. Our SOP, our standing operating procedure, is somewhat similar to state patrols and I think probably the city police, where they think of a police dog in the same category as you would a police baton. It's a manual weapon that does inflict an injury, but it's not considered deadly force. When I'm instructing these deputies to be handlers, I go a step farther than our department policy, and I'll tell them that I don't feel that they should send their dog on an off-the-lead attack unless it's a situation where you could legally shoot that person by state statute, not policy, but by statute.
The backyard of Halverstadt's rural home is a veritable dog obstacle course. There, one sunny December day, he and two deputies practice detention exercises. While the handler orders his dog to stay, the agitator, wearing a protective arm shield, taunts the dog by walking back and forth, hitting the ground with a stick. As he comes closer, the dog is told to attack.
Pack him! Ah, good boy! Good boy! Go pack him! Go pack him! Good boy! Good boy! Stand still, don't move! Go! Good house!
Yeah, that one's superb. He just bit once, he held on. As soon as the individual quit resisting, the handler told him to let go, he let go. And that's just what we want.
That exercise over, the agitator removes his arm shield and hugs and plays with the dog. Next, the dogs will practice attacking without being commanded to, as when a detainee so much as touches the dog's handler, the dog itself, or fires a gun. Asked how often in his 27 years handling police dogs bites have occurred, Sergeant Halverstadt responds,
I never have had to let my dog or have my dog bite anyone. There's such a high deterrent. People realize that this dog isn't going to stop and read him the Miranda rights. The beauty of a police dog is you can call it back. You know, you can't call back a bullet.
70% of the work of Sheriff's Department dogs is tracking. Halverstadt invites a guest to play good guy in a good guy find. The two tramp across a snowy cornfield and crouch down behind tall grasses. In the distance, a dog and two deputies appear. Halverstadt explains the dog's body language.
If his nose is down, his tail's down, he's on the scent and he's tracking. If his head comes up and looks around, then he's what you call air scenting. He's picking up the different body acid scents in the air. And his tail will come up then too.
As the three get closer, the good guys scrunch down lower to avoid being seen. But suddenly the dog's right there, nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball with them. It's a dangerous moment. One false move and someone could be licked to death. For Nebraska Public Radio, I'm Nina Galen.